RCL Mobile.
M1PJB, KCHZYB. M1PJB, KCHZYB, you around, Pete?
KCHZYB, this is M1PJB. How's it going, buddy? You had a good run out. Did you get all your jobs done?
M1PJB, KCHZYB, yeah. Yeah, I actually got my hair cut while I was out, too. In this Walmart we went to, they had a barber shop inside there, so I went and got my hair cut while we were out. But yeah, we got everything handled well. We went to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. My sister-in-law had to find out some stuff about the title on their SUV. There was like a 3-hour wait, so we decided against that. We're going to go back tomorrow, but everything else we got done. Anyway, man, your audio is sounding really good. It's sounding good on my end. And you know my setup. I don't have an antenna outside yet. So, yeah, you're sounding really good, man. KCHZYB.
Yep, you're sounding pretty good this side yourself. Well, 9:05 in the evening here. I'll be on the road, about 2 a.m. Eastern time. 1:30, 2 a.m. Eastern. I'll not be very far away. I'll be about, if you're around, later on this evening.
Yeah, more than likely I'll be around, you know, sorry about that. Yeah, I'll be around. You know, I keep my headphones on anyway, so if you give me a shout and I got her fired up, I'll come back to you. So 2 a.m. my time. All right. Most of the time I'm up anyway. But, man, one of these weekends, you ought to try to crash out a little earlier. Get a little bit of sleep and jump out on that net one time just to check in so you can hear everybody on this one. I believe it's called the Blue Ridge Net, I believe. It's every evening, 9 p.m. Eastern, and a lot of people check into it. But, you know, it'd be 2 a.m. your time, so you'd have to take a little nap before if you want to check it out sometime.
Yeah. M1PJB, Mexico 1, Papa Juliet Bravo, for ID. Yeah. I thought there was only 1-2 o'clock in the course of a day.
What's that?
I thought there was only 1-2 o'clock in a day. There's just 1-2 o'clock. I didn't realise there was two. I've never been awake on the other one.
Come on, you know what I meant. Gary hangs out and talks with us late in the evening like that. I don't know how the guy does it, man. You know, he'll be up all the way until it's 5 a.m. your time, and then have to get ready to be at work at 6 a.m., or have to get up and be ready to leave at 6 a.m. for work. I don't know how the guy does.
Yeah, a little bit choppy the end of that one, mate. A little bit choppy. It'll be better the weekend. If you're going to get that antenna up outside this weekend, are you? Or are you just measuring up this week?
I mean, I have to order the coax, but I think just so I can get it outside and get a better signal, I'll just set it up temporary right outside my window. Because I've only got 18 foot of coax, and I think you probably remember when I bought it for my place in Hilton Head, the way I was going to set it up there. So all I have is 18 foot, so yeah, more than likely it'll be up this weekend, but that spot will just be temporary, because I'm going to have to order Well, I'll have to order this. I can probably pick this up at a couple of the big home improvement stores. I need to get a tripod to put on the peak of the roof and a couple 10 or 12 foot sections of mass. So I don't know. Yeah, we're going to have to measure for that. I'm probably going to have to get, with as high as I want that thing in the air, man, I'm probably going to have to get 100 feet of coax.
Man, that's a crazy length. That's going to contain a hell of a lot of loss. I wouldn't get away with an antenna that high here. Maximum height that I could erect a one would be 15 metres above the roof line on the house because of the close proximity of the airport.
Well, the way it's going to be from the ground up to the tip of that, to the tip of that antenna, it's going to be up about 40 feet probably from the ground to the tip of the antenna. So, and where I'm going to have that in the house, I'm going to need a little extra coax. But like you had mentioned in the past, I'll probably have to wind some of that up and make a choke if I have if I end up having more excess coax than what I need. But just to be on the safe side, I'm probably going to have to get at least, I mean, maybe I can get away with 80 feet. But the way we're running this, I just have to make sure I've got enough. But yeah, from the ground up, it's going to be at least 40 feet, maybe 45 feet in the air.
Yeah, dude, that'll work. That will work. Yeah. Well, if you have a look in the file section on the 433-400 net page, you'll find some files on there that are posted, and there's a PDF file on there with something like 1,000 antennas in it for all places and situations. So you might find something interesting in that, and that'll tell you all about making the chokes with the quacks, how many turns to put on and the diameters and difference, you know.
Sounds good. I'm actually going to look that up right now. KCAZYB for ID. Yeah, I remember you telling me you guys had a lot of interesting files on there to help people do different things. So good deal, man. Yeah, I'm going to look that up now and take a look at it. So I've got the page pulled up. What's the actual name of your users group, man? I haven't been out there for a while. Is it a Northumberland users group or Northumberland 433?
If you just do a search for 433.400 the Northumberland net.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, I'm going to do that, man. Yeah, thanks for that. I will take a look at what you got there. What is everybody in your group pretty much add stuff to that when they have something they think might be interesting for everyone?
Yeah. I mean, as PDFs go, I mean, I've got an absolute rake of them, PDF files and books on that sort of thing. I hit you with some if you want. You know, I could throw some your way. Just let us know what you want, or better still, I'll get a list put together, and I think there's a couple more that I've posted on there. On, like, how to use SDR radio.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one you had me look at when I was trying to set up that SDR dongle for different software and stuff. Yeah, I don't know what's up with that software that I'm using on this PC. I definitely have to get it figured out if I'm going to set up one of those dongles again. I have an issue with the microphone kicking on every time I turn the software on. some kind of sound card issue or something. Man, we need to get Judrow out here too. He hasn't been out on this one yet, but it seems like he's always got something going on. You heard about his dryer, right? KCHZYB.
KCHZYB. DM1PJB. Northeast UK. Yes. Like I said, me and him, if we didn't have bad luck, we wouldn't have any luck whatsoever.
Yeah, I know, man. It's almost laughable. I mean, he just can't get away from it, man. It's unreal. You know, he moves into that nice new home, buys a brand new washer and dryer set, has it a couple months, and it breaks down. Lord have mercy.
Yep, I know. It'd be good to hear him on here. I've never heard him for about a week. I don't think I've heard him since the last time we were on video chat. I don't think I've heard him since. But anyhow, brother, I've got to lay my head down. I'll be home tomorrow night, but I'll catch you through the day. I'll probably come on, like I says. It'll be about 2 o'clock Eastern, about 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern a.m. that I'll be chucking it on the road.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, man, I didn't tell you about this. They're having my doctor here that I got set up in Greenville now for this pump. They called me a couple hours ago when I was out running errands and said they were having a problem with one of my medications, because there's three different medications in that thing, and they're having a problem with one of them. I guess it needs pre-approval or something, and I don't know why in the world they waited this long to get the medication approved. You know, I was in their office a week and a half ago when they ordered the medication, and a day before I'm supposed to go in and get this thing filled up, they call me and tell me there's an issue with one of the medications. And that's not good. I mean, you know what happens if this thing goes dry. So I'm hoping they can get things together, or I may end up in the hospital here for a few days. But anyway, brother, yeah, get your head down. And I will catch up with you here in a few hours, man.
Okay, brother Jeff. Yeah. It's 21:20 here in the UK, so I'm going to have to be up at about 6. So, thanks for the chat. And thanks to the repeater keeper for the use of his repeater. It's a very good link. And you stay safe, man. And I'll catch you in the morning. 73 M1PJB.
Yeah, thanks for the repeater under there for letting us use the system. And it is a great system here. All right, buddy, get some sleep, and I'll catch you in a few hours. Tell Jen I said hey. M1PJB, KCHZYB, Greenville, South Carolina, 73.
Yeah, she comments right back at you, bro. And she says that she hopes you're well, mate. Catch you later, 73.
All right, buddy, 73. Yeah, that station out there, go ahead. Name's Jeff. Call sign's Kilo Charlie 8 Zulu Yankee Bravo. How are you?
K2RCL Mobile. K2RCL N0TR.
Sharp, go ahead.
Tom, this is Russell, K2RCL. How you doing today?
Oh, I just walked up a set of stairs here and went out and checked the chickens, and I think I must have startled that one hen, and she stepped on the dang egg. So that egg didn't get brought in.
I heard that. Yeah, I'm sitting here with a friend of mine that's thinking about getting into ham. Was showing him the little Beofong radio here. We're sitting up here close to North Grambling University, showing him how to get the repeater and how to make contact.
Well, that's good. Put him on there if you want. I can accept third-party traffic. Well, you should have been on here earlier, Russell. A fellow by the name of Peter from Cramlington, England, Mike One, Papa Juliet Bravo, was talking to a friend of his earlier, and then he come back and he talked to Dave, KB4CBA, and me, and I think it was Phil, but Phil's mic was too hot. And he was over there in England driving a semi-truck up near the Scottish border. That would have been a good contact for you.
I think I may have caught the tail end of that when I was driving over here. I put the radio on right before I got here, and I caught the end of some traffic there and then got in here and was helping John here program up this little Beofong, get it up to where he can at least get in and listen. We'll get him studying for his ham test and get his license.
Are you talking on a Yeshu radio right now, Russell?
On one of the little Beofong UV5Rs.
I wasn't listening carefully. Well, it's got what we used to call in CB language a Roger beep included with it. And I don't know if that's a menu option to take it out or not, but it goes ding-dong after every one of your transmissions. It's not abhorrent or anything like that, but it would be better without it.
Tom, I appreciate you letting me know. Give me just a second here and see if we can't get that shut off.
Yeah, it sounds like TikTok every time it goes off. No problem. This is N0TR. And so it'll be a minute before I get back in 0TR.
K2RCL N0TR. Just let me know when you're back on and if that Roger beat's gone.
Star on the wall for you, Russell, like they used to do back in kindergarten and all, because you got her out of there, buddy.
Still, I had to remember all the ins and outs on programming these. We hooked it up to Chirp and tried to clone one that I had, and I think it may have been turned on it when we transferred the software and everything over to the local repeater.
I've been told many, many times I never owned one. Are very difficult to program.
You know, it's not really that bad. If you use the Chirp software and the appropriate cables, they're relatively easy to program. Programming them from the keypad can be a little aggravating, but once you get through like one or two channels, you can pretty much set up all your CTS signals and everything and get it locked in and get it to where it'll work really well. I started out programming these with just the keypad and then stepped up to the cable and probably won't go back to the keypad unless I absolutely have to.
I think it's the same that I ever programmed. I like my Yaesus in the mobiles to program. They're the easiest. And then these ICOMs is totally different. But they're not really that hard. It's just repetition. And if you don't do it in a long time, like if you got an added tone or something, I think one of the biggest things is people don't go to the VFO first, put all that stuff in, and then memorize it. It's probably one of my biggest mistakes anyways. But that can be a pain in the gluteus maximus, and that ain't your elbow.
RCL. I heard that, Tom. I can definitely understand. Each radio is different. A lot of the programming I've done prior to getting into ham was on the Motorola and some of the Kenwood series for emergency services. So I had kind of a leg up on the competition, so to speak, when I started programming ham.
I had a friend of mine up in Kansas one time, and he asked me if I, he owned a business, and he also took care of the local police departments and utilities. And he wanted me to align the Motorola radios, and he thought I could do it just because I had a commercial license. And maybe I should have, but I told him, I said, no, that's out of the realm of what I know, and I didn't know how to align them. I'd never done anything. And the Motorolas, I'm sure, can be fairly complicated. I used to run a Motorola, I think it was a police radio, and my friend N5SD that took care of all of the Kansas City Southern Railroad's radios changed it over to where I could operate on 146.94 up there with it, and I think it was 45 watts out. It done a great job, but it was a big old heavy-duty mic and a fairly good-sized mobile unit, and there's just... You know, I worked with electronics and electrical as an industrial electrician. I wasn't any RF expert by far.
That I never claimed to be an expert. I just had enough knowledge to program the radios there at the fire department so we could keep everything programmed the same and keep all the channel lists the same so we wouldn't be saying go to channel 2 and somebody have to go to channel 5 and somebody else go to channel 4. So it was nice just to be able to go in and pretty much clone the radios over and set up the correct frequencies and just get them set to where everybody was on the same page.
It's a fine business on that. Well, now with these trunking systems, I like to listen to them now and then, but it's just too much money for a handy talkie to be $600 or so, or even a base station. And I just won't do it. And you got to have that ultra-fast, the trunking system enabled, and then program them on top of that. But I do listen to air traffic quite a lot, not every single day. And I enjoy that. And I still get some of the analog fire departments like Cunningham and different ones.
For the most part, all the fire departments around here have migrated over to the 800. They're doing that PAL 800 with P25 compliance. Everybody, county got on board with that, kind of switched everything over, so it looks like that's where everybody's going to go. I know some of the departments are still keeping some of their UHF stuff just to have an additional fire ground channel or from some just interdepartmental communication.
An occasional ambulance, if you're in that area, on 155010, which used to be our police department up in Kansas, and it would just happen to be in my radio down here, and then I think it's Cunningham, and they're on 460 something, and for some reason I had that in there, so I hear them occasionally.
I didn't know they were still using it pretty regularly. I thought most of them had all switched over to the 800 there. Well, we're going to jump off from here right quick. Tom, I appreciate you getting back to me, just letting him hear how all this works out and everything. We're going to get him studying for the ham test and see if we can get him his ticket. Then maybe we can get him on the air with us.
I was trying to think, where did I talk to the other day here when that Echolink was in Bernice? It wasn't England, was it? It's just amazing. What'd you think? Oh, yeah, it was Frankfurt, Germany, and my kids used to be over there for a while, for about 3 years. Every now and then, you'll hear someone come in from over there, and they're usually great to direct you with a person. And this gentleman happens to have a friend in the local neighborhood, and he was talking to him. But I've talked to Australia just driving down the street here in Greer in front of my house on that Echolink. And it seems like magic, don't it? All RF is magic. And he will enjoy it. Well, take care, and we wish him all the luck in the world. And K2, Romeo Charlie Lima, this is N0TR 73, you can clear.
Thank you again, Tom. Like I say, K2RCL and 73 to you, N0TR.
24 CPA Mobile.
CPA, this is WP4LUJ. Good afternoon.
I think I heard WP4L. Is it UJ Uniform Juliet?
Whiskey Delta 4 Lima Uniform Juliet. Name here is Randy.
It's Randy. Name here is David. And you can just call me David. I've been called a lot worse.
We all. Well, it's good to meet you, David. I'm in Central, actually heading for Clemson. My daughter works over there, and I'm going to pick her up. And just heard you call, and I haven't talked to you before, I don't think. And I've been a ham a long time, but I haven't been very active for a while, so I'm sort of starting to get back into it.
Well, I got my ticket in 82, and for a while there, I was kind of, you know, on and off again. And, I've been pretty regular on the last couple, 2 or 3, 4 years, I guess, maybe longer. I get on HF, especially in the evening, but sometimes I'm 66 years old, and I sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night just like wide awake, and I'll get up, go turn the HF rig on, and just see what's going on. Sometimes, you just never know what you're going to hear on what band you're going to hear it on.
Well, you and I aren't too much different. I'm 63, and I first got licensed in 77. I was a technician for a number of years back then, and so I was pretty active on 2 meters. There was an awful lot of activity back in those days, a lot more than I hear lately on 2 meters. And then in the 80s, I finally upgraded and started getting on HF a little bit. But in the last 10 or 15 years, I really haven't gotten on much, but I'm starting to get the interest again, and so I'm dusting off some old equipment and seeing if any of it's even usable anymore.
3 years ago, this coming July to be 3 years, my wife and I planned a trip to Portland, Maine, and we drove, and so on the way back, I said, yeah, there's an HRO in Virginia, and we were going right through the town where the HRO was, so we stopped, and I sat down in front of an ICOM 7300, and she said, you going to get your radio? And I said, yeah, I was thinking about it. And she said, well, go ahead and get it. So I picked me up a 7300 on the way back from vacation. Boy, that was a treat. And I'll tell you, I love that radio. It is something else.
If I could have resisted that either. That's a pretty powerful combination. Sweet radio and then your wife telling you to get it. That's pretty good. I haven't quite got that point yet. I do have some HF equipment, but I'm still tinkering to see if it's usable. And I do need to work on my antenna. I've got an old HF 6V vertical that worked really well back years ago, but I think it needs a little TLC right now. So I'm kind of looking into that. Probably doesn't need too much, but I need to get the time to take it down and clean it up, you know, check all the connections, and then test it and set it up for the bands. But I got one of those kit network analyzers, and boy, those are really handy. I really, really enjoy using that thing, because that really makes antenna work easy. I haven't used it on much else, but it sure does do a good job on that.
I'm making the repeater all right. I'm in a noisy area on 291. I'm sitting still, but I'm receiving the repeater okay, so hopefully I'm getting back in. I use a Carolina Wyndham antenna, and It's a 135-foot long wire. It's fed, well, depending on how you look at it, it's fed a third of the weight in from one end. And it also will transmit, the vertical part of it will transmit as well as the horizontal part. So I can talk to people, you know, in here in Greenville and on HF. So it's pretty neat. But I've also talked as far as St. Petersburg, Russia. So, and 100 watts. So, you know, it's a good antenna.
Good one. I wish I had the room for one that big. That's one reason why I went with the vertical, because I don't have that much space. I do have a dipole I put up in the attic, which is not cut to any particular length. I just put as much wire up there as I could, and then use a tuner to get it adjusted. I guess my best contact was the Marshall Islands, which was quite a few years ago. I knew some missionaries out there, and they used to come on 15 meters and work a skid back here in the States back then. And I did work them on 100 watts on that. So that's about the best one I ever did.
I tell you, I'm really happy with this antenna. I bought it from Ham, Bill, and gosh, I'm having a moment of my mind's going blank. I know Bill's call, like I know the back of my hand, but I can't think of it. N4IQ. And that's the call. And bought some other things from him too, but since my I was thinking about buying an amp, but then I'd have to buy a tuner, an external tuner, and the 7300 has a built-in tuner, and I just decided, you know, what the heck, it's doing good enough the way it is. And so I'm not even gonna fool with buying an amp and a tuner. But I have a lot of fun with it. Seeing that, having that waterfall really, really makes it easy to, you know, to find a signal and find somebody to talk to.
Did some of those radios, they sure look nice. I don't know if I'm quite in the price category that I can hit that, but they sure do look nice with the waterfall display. I haven't messed with it. I haven't tried to operate with one of those yet, though. But it looks interesting. I've got some old analog equipment that I have used for many, many years, and it works pretty well. And I've always enjoyed just tuning around. But I kind of like tinkering, I think, even more than operating, because that's really, I'm more of a builder, modifier, and stuff like that. That's kind of my business. But, you know, you said your Wyndham about 130 feet. It's hard to beat putting up that much wire, especially when you're working the lower bands like 80 or 160 or even 40 for that matter. It's hard to beat putting up a lot of wire.
This is KB4CBA. Yeah, I have four trees in the backyard, and they're in a straight line, and all about the same height, and three of them are sweet gum, one of them's oak, and but I only have 90 feet of property, so it kind of goes down, the ends kind of go down, so which is probably not good, but I mean, it works great, so who knows what the transmit pattern looks like, but you know, the SWR, the radio can tune the wire to whatever, you know, band I'm on, so I'm happy about that. And there is a longer version, it's 200, I think 200, I can't remember how many feet, that will work, so you can work 160. That's the only band. It doesn't cover, mine doesn't cover. However, I did hear some people talking on 160 the other night, but I never tried to get back to them. But it's, it'll go from 80 to 6 meters, and so that's pretty good coverage.
Yep. My vertical has a 160-meter kit, and it does tune up on a very, very narrow section of 160. I think the 2-to-1 SWR bandwidth there is only about 25 kilohertz or something like that. I don't think I've ever made a contact on 160. But, you know, during this time when the sunspots are low, those low bands are the place to be. I think 160's probably been pretty good the last few years with the low sunspots.
That's a 7-year cycle, and I understand we're on the coming back up. You know, it was bad, and now it's starting to get better, so at least we're headed in the right direction for the next few years, and then it starts over. But I tell you, the other night, 20, 40, and or 40, 60, and 80 were just, I mean, they were just people talking all over the band, those bands. And, I mean, you could just, I could just see, I mean, they were just side by side, just covering up the band with QSOs, and some of them were calling Nets, and it was just amazing. I've been on 17 meters. There's a good bit of activity on 17, and I've talked to several people on 17 meters. And, but the radio seems to really like 20 and 40 meters the best, and or I'm sorry, 40 and 60 meters the best. No, I'm wrong. It is 20 and 40 meters the best. It seems the antenna performs better on those bands than any other. But anyway, like I said, I am really happy with it.
People, we are starting to see a little bit of sunspot activity, and we should start seeing a little more activity. It is good to see something. The last few years, it's been kind of frustrating to turn on 20 meters and just hear nothing from one end of the band to the other. And I remember the years of cycle 21 back in the early 80s, and there was some amazing propagation back then. Guys were taking CB radios and converting them to 10 meters, and not even changing, just stick with the old 4 or 5 watt output, and talking to Europe from their car. And that happened quite regularly back during the heyday of cycle 21. And then contrast that to the last few years when we've had almost no sunspots at all. Well, I need to get going here. Nice to chat with you. Nice to meet you, David. And I'll catch you again sometime. So this is WD4LUJ. I will clear after your final.
Well, I need to run in. I'm sitting in front of Marco's here. I need to run in and pick up some pizza. And it should be ready right now. So that worked out good. And you have a good evening, and it's good to meet up with you on 2 Meters FM, and I will talk to you again. Have a good one. 73 KB4CPA, clear. KB4CBA Mobile.
Lima Alpha Zulu Mobile.
Dave, you out on the road a lot today in for DJC.
Busy, busy, busy. And there's another station in there, and I did not get your call. I was concentrating on pulling out on the 291, which is a lot of fun at this hour. But let's see, the other station, go ahead.
Pan
again, got to keep it safe when you're driving in the big going home work from work traffic. I totally get that. This is KK4 Lima Alpha Zulu. Name is Jim. I think maybe we talked the other day. I can't quite remember.
Honestly, I don't remember, but it is very possible. Oh, me. Go ahead and pick it up there, Jerry. What are you doing?
You know, some radios and moving some antennas around, trying to get them in a little bit better location. My 9700 I got had an issue with it. It smelled like it might have been cooking the finals, and called up ICOM, and they made me call the dealer, so I'm sending it back, and they're going to give me another radio. That's something that hadn't happened to me in years, but although I did have a set of finals going, an ICOM 251-8 all being rigged.
Smell something burning. I usually look at a transformer, but I got a couple of crotch rockets in front of me, and they are loud. You think my car is loud? Good Lord. Let's see, and the I swear, I got such a good memory. The other station, go ahead and pick it up.
Hey, you're totally fine. Name is Jim, Juliet, India, Mike. You must be where I was not too long ago, because I was on 291. 291 is Pleasantburg, right? 291 down by Greenville Tech, and there's some guys just raising cane down there on a couple of bikes. One guy on, like, a stretched, long black bike was just revving it like crazy, and I have a bike, and it's loud, but it's nothing like that. I was blown away, too. But, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that your radio's giving you trouble. I've not had any problems with, well, knock on wood, anything that I've had. Did you say that it was a 7300?
700, just a 2-meter, 70-centimeter, 1.2-gig tri-bander satellite cable, single-side band, you know, does everything but APRS. I'm just trying to consolidate some rigs and maybe just have one desk, you know, have one base rig. I haven't been running about 50 watts. Just got yesterday. I haven't been running about 50 watts out of it. But David, it could have been a transformer. Something wasn't right, because the SWR on my antenna, I checked. I did a sweep on my cable, but to be sure, and it's good. And the SWR on the antenna is like 1 to 1.2 to 1, so that's good. And wasn't overheating or anything. It just had an odd smell coming out of it. And I called the guy at ICOM in Washington, and he said, that doesn't sound right. I said, nope. I said, I've been at it for, about a little bit over 42 years now. I said, I know what one smells like. I said, something wasn't right, and I didn't want to make it any worse. I hadn't operated it for maybe 6 or 7 hours. But it never overheated. It didn't. It had a shipped my power supply. I got a 25-amp Mastron power supply. It was dead on 13.8 volts, and I wasn't running for about 50 watts, which is probably about 10 amps, something like that. But I noticed as soon as I turned it on, it started transmitting. It started acting. And I started getting that little bit of smell. I thought, maybe it's just something, you know, maybe it's burning something off of it, but it never did dissipate. It didn't get any worse, but it didn't get any better either. And so they had me call the dealer, and I called the dealer, and they said they were going to send me a label, UBS label, and send it back, and they're going to send me another one out. At least that's what they said it was going to do. I ain't got the label yet. We'll see what happens with it.
I had an Alinco 2-meter rig that I had rebuilt, and because you couldn't hear, it would transmit, but you didn't have any audio, and I even tried plugging an external speaker in, and still didn't have any audio, so, and he replaced a bunch of parts, and it worked, when I looked it up, so I set it aside because I was using it as a spare, and doggone if I didn't hook it back up, and it didn't work. Well, it worked, but it had a hum and something else going on, something totally different. So I'm like, shoot, it's a paperweight now. Go ahead, Jim.
I have been unscathed by radio issues, except for with some of the little Chinese, like Baofangs and things like that, up to this point. But I don't know. Hopefully I'm going to stay lucky, but who knows? I'm doing a lot more with HF and antenna experimentation these days and things like that. So I picked myself up one of those little nano VNA vector network analyzers that really the only thing I know how to do with it is check SWR, but it's definitely, I think, I'm trying to keep myself safe from burning things up, because up to this point it was kind of like, all right, pull it out of the box, throw it up in the air, and, you know, hope for the best. But now that I'm doing a lot more HF stuff, I decided to go ahead and pick up something to make sure I wasn't going to cook an expensive rig. And with that, I've been able to tune the antenna here in the truck. This one, I think I was able to get down to about a 1.2, and I needed to get longer in order to get it any lower. So kind of ran out of room that way, but I don't know. I think 1.2 is probably fine, especially on 2 meters and 440. I know, especially on the HF bands, that the SWR matters a whole lot more. So that's why I'm really trying to play it safe there. I've got a little Tar Heel adjustable antenna on this truck that I can run up and down, a little meter mounted here in the truck that I can use for tuning it. And then whenever I'm, you know, running portable or running the rig at the house, I've got that vector network analyzer that I can use to check SWR and make sure everything is cleaned up. So, yeah, that's, like I said, sorry to hear that y'all are having trouble, but sounds like they're at least doing their part to, you know, take responsibility for it and get you a new radio.
DJ C Friday, well, Jim, I had a Kenwood THD-74A that acted up. This was about 2 or 3 years ago now, and it was, I got it from Patriot Road, and it got here, and it didn't, it was something right with it right away. The battery wouldn't even hard to click on the back, and they wanted me to send it back, and I said, well, I'll just drive up there on Monday. That's all I said. I drove up there Monday and handed it to me, and then they went back there. I think what happened, I think somebody had that radio and taken the, you know, the a lot of times they modify those for CAP, Mars, open up the band on them a little bit. I think somebody either there at the store or somebody, and it hadn't been sold, somebody there at the store had messed with it, and the screws weren't right in that die-cast chassis. And they were going to charge me like $268 to have it fixed. I said, whoa, wait a minute. This thing wasn't operating. It wouldn't even transmit for, you know, when it got out of the box. And they kind of gave me a runaround for a little while, but I know Phil Parton in Ford, I think it's DRO now. He used to be the HRO guy there in Atlanta, and he is Kenwood's amateur national sales manager. I called Phil up, and all of a sudden, HRO got real nice, and they sent it back. I sent it back to them. They sent it back to Kenwood, and I got it back in about 2 or 3 weeks, and it worked fine from there on out. But this is only the second, basically, new radio I've had trouble with, and I don't like a habit of it, because these things, you can't get any work on them other than to manufacture all this surface mount stuff on them and all these specialized chips. I mean, it's tough.
Well, let's see. Let me make sure I got it. This is KB4CBA. Well, I'll tell you, that Elenco was given to me, and along with Kenwood that I use in the house for 2 meters, and it works good. It I had to resolder the antenna center lead to the circuit board, but other than that, haven't had any trouble with it. I think the mic cord's got a break in one of the wires. When you pull on it, you can't pull on it or when you're transmitting, or it'll, I think it drops out. But anyway, I guess that's an excuse to buy another 2 meter rig. All right, well, I'm going to bail on you guys and I'll turn it back to you, Jim, and good to talk with you, and Jerry as well. And I'm sitting at the house here with hot pizza and I better get inside and share that with my wife. So y'all have a good evening. 73 is KB4CBA. Go ahead and pick it up, Jim.
Karen, enjoy that pizza. You said you were going to get pizza, and I was thinking, oh, that'd be good. I might stop and get some myself. 73s, take care. And Jerry, yeah, I pretty much buy everything used except for the really cheap stuff. So I guess I'm taking a gamble on whether or not the previous owner was honest in their description of the radio and everything, you know, all of its function, everything working properly. But I feel like most of the time, especially if I'm buying from someone I can verify is an actual amateur radio operator, that it's pretty safe, because I know a lot of guys here around this hobby are pretty trustworthy and honest, just because they know that, I guess they know that the reputation is at stake if they do do something, you know, sell you something that's not as described. But I've been lucky so far. Right now I'm talking on a Yaesu FT400 XDR, I think is what it is, that I bought used off of eBay, used in practically new condition. I mean, everything was still in its plastic packaging when I got it, and I got the original box and the manuals and everything like that. So, going into that, I was pretty confident I was going to be getting a good rig, and I think I got like $100 or $150 off of MSRP on it. I want to say I paid like $400, $375, something like that for it when I bought it. I've had it for 3 or 4 years now, and it's worked well so far. And then I got a... recently picked up a Yaesu FT450 HF rig. That's my new primary HF rig. Upgraded from a little Kenwood TS50, which I still have. That's actually what's mounted in the truck now, is the Kenwood TS50. But that 450 I picked up from a nice gentleman, and I have his call sign written down. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but nice gentleman down in the Atlanta area. I drove down there, picked it up from him, got a steal of a deal on it. I picked that radio up for, I think, $400, which it's not the 450D model, but really there's not that many difference between the 450 and the 450D model. I think it's mainly like they added some backlighting to the keys. They changed out the knobs with like a silver trim ring knob. I got feet. The 450D got feet, which is something I want to try to find to put on my 450, because it just sits flat on a table, and so I have to stick something underneath it to raise the nose of it up whenever I'm out in the field working with it. But yeah, I've had some pretty good luck. I think the only new I bought a Yaesu FT1DR. I think it's the little handheld Apers capable handheld. Bought that new. It's worked well. And I bought a Kenwood D610, and it's not the GPS enabled one. It's the one right before they put the GPS built into it. So it's GPS enabled. You just have to run it externally. I bought that new, I think. And that one is right now currently sitting on a shelf at the house, because I'm planning on setting it up as like a base rig, since I've got this Yaesu 5450 as
repeater time out exit. Repeater time out, please.
What's on you just now, KK4 Lima Alpha Zulu?
No, the repeater timed out. That was all it was, Jim. It's reset now, though.
Not too long.
I promise you, I can talk more than 10 minutes at a time.
What I said was, I'm glad that they took care of you over there and got you fixed up with that T-74. How do you like that radio? I thought about getting one of those for the D-Star capability.
TS-50, yeah, that's a great little rig. Don't ever get rid of that thing. Those things are hard to find now. That's one of the best Kenwood rigs I think they've made, after the TS-120 and 130, 140. That TS-50 is a great mobile rig. But I always had Kenwood gear when I started out. I had TS-520s and that sort of stuff, and then I bought a TS-120 when the solid state stuff came out, and had a 2400 handheld. But the sadly, the D-72 and the D-74 have been discontinued by Kenwood. It was effective on both of them around Christmas time of 2020.
That I hadn't seen that yet. Did they give a reason for why they were getting rid of them?
And then I hadn't talked to Phil yet. I might give him a call, but I hate to call him because I don't want to put him on the spot. But, there's a chip manufacturer in Japan. It's called, I think it's called AKM, and they manufacture like audio amps for stereo systems and all kinds of semiconductor stuff for the electronics business in Japan. They had a terrible fire back in October and about burned the whole place up. And so they haven't been able to get chips, and I think they decided, you know, the 72 and 74 weren't big sellers, but you know, 74 wasn't full of duplex like the 72 was. And the, that's really, the 72 was actually a little bit easier for me to work satellites with and, you know, the digipeter on board the space, you know, the space station. But the 74 had single side, you know, it was basically a shack in a box. But the 74 was a good radio, but I don't know whether they're going to try to upgrade it or what's going on. I also had an A710GA, which is a good radio, too. Like the, you may have a 700, maybe what you have, but mine had the built-in GPS, and it was a good radio. But I'm running a FTM300DR right now as a base rig, and it's, to me, it's easier to work on satellite than either the D17 or the D72, either one was.